This is Truth Matters Church, contending for the faith one verse at a time. Our mission is to help people see God's truth through the expository study of Scripture. You can learn more and connect with us at truthmatterschurch.org. Today we conclude our 11-message highlight of Pastor Alex Catarroja's expository study through the book of Ephesians. And beginning on our next episode, we open a brand new study in the book of Romans. This captivating epistle is full of doctrine and lessons for living out our faith as believers. Be sure to follow us or subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss this study. But first, let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6 and study the armor of God. Here is Pastor Alex.
All right, if you haven't already, go ahead and take your Bibles and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to be picking up in verse 10. Now, I had the privilege of introducing this book to you earlier this year. Now I have the privilege of closing out this book of Ephesians, and it's bittersweet for me, and it's bitter because this is probably going to be the last time that I'm going to exposit Ephesians verse by verse. It's likely that it's on to other things, and that's actually the sweet part, is that I'll get to, Lord willing, plow in other, right, all of the other books of the Bible. We're going to be reading a very familiar and popular passage to many, if not all of us, and that is the passage concerning the armor of God, and that's the title of this message. And this is one of my personal favorite studies, as it is both profound, and as we're going to see, it's actually very practical as well. And if the study that we're about to endeavor today, I mean, I'm not just saying this to say this. This is, at a minimum, probably a six-week study. Probably 6 weeks. It could be even more. But let's just say 6 solid weeks. But I'm going to endeavor to give it to you in one study, which means get very comfortable, because we are going to cover and close this epistle. So with that said, allow me to read the text and set the passage in our minds. And then as we customarily do, we'll exposit our text with the goal to get to the truth and then to get to the application. So let's begin reading in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Paul writes there, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness, the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Now let's pause right there. So that, again, that's a mouthful, but here Paul describes the believer's armor. And verse 10 begins with, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." And finally, as we know, is a conclusive statement. And as I mentioned previously, out of all the apostles, I would consider Paul as the apostle who was given the most insight into the mysteries of God's redemptive will and plan. And here's just a brief reminder, just really briefly on some of those. In chapter 1, we got into the mystery of God's will concerning, again, our predestination, election, and eternal security. That was a mystery. And there is a mystery of God's will concerning our new birth, being born again unto good works, was a mystery. And the gospel, the good news that included the Gentiles. Jews salvation is not also available to the Jews, but it is also available to the Gentiles. But that was a mystery. And in chapters 4 and 5, we got into the mystery of God's will concerning the institution of the church. And a couple of weeks ago, we got into the mystery behind the marriage and how the marriage illustration points to Christ and his bride, the church. So after such things, after many admonitions, and after many practical application, Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And he tells us how we can be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might in verse 11. He says, by putting on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And a little reminder of our context here. When Paul is penning this epistle, he is in prison penning this very epistle. So it is likely that Paul, if he is observing the Roman soldier who was under the protective care and watch, you know, he's watching and guarded Paul. He's either chained to him or in just under protective watch. And then Paul sees, right, this Roman soldier sees his armor and he says, ah, that's how I'm going to close this marvelous epistle concerning the mysteries of God. How am I going to bring this all home? So it is likely he is observing that. And also notice in verse 11, the command is to put on this armor of God. You know what that means? If you don't have the armor of God on, you're in sin. Put on is not a suggestion, it is a command. Also notice that keeping it on, it's something that is supposed to stay on. So I'm going to use an illustration here. So if there is a soldier enlisted, like deployed in battle, in the battlefield, in his full attire, do you think, let's say it's time for him to sleep, do you think he's going to get into his jammies and into his tent? No. He's going to keep it on, right? And what happens? There's a rotation among the soldiers who's going to keep watch. So in that same type of vein, that's how it is with this spiritual armor. We are to always have it on, just like in that illustration, and to never take it off. And Paul says we are to do this so that we will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And some translation says the wiles of the devil. And the Greek there is methodia. Sounds familiar, right? Where he gets our English word methods. So Paul warns us to have this armor on so that we will be able to withstand the methods of the devil. So in order for us to understand the schemes or methods of Satan, we need to know, how does Satan operate? What is Satan's intent? What are other attributes and descriptions of Satan where in Scripture that depict his other character traits? What intel do we have on the devil so that we can be prepared and counter? And thankfully, Scripture has many. I'll just go through some of them. In Revelation 9:11, he is called Abaddon and Apollyon, meaning destroyer. In Revelation 12:10, he's called the accuser or slanderer of our brothers. In 1 Peter 5:8, he is our enemy, the devil, who prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. In Revelation 12:9, he's called the great dragon, the ancient serpent, the deceiver of the whole world. In John 17:15, he is called the evil one. John 8:44, he is a murderer, a liar, and the father of lies. 2 Corinthians 4, he is the god of this age. Ephesians 2, the ruler of the kingdom of the air. John 10:10, his children are like that, who is a thief, who only comes to steal and kill and destroy. And in John 12:14-16, he is called the prince of this world. And last but not least, he is also called tempter in Matthew 4 and 1 Thessalonians 3. So we know that the devil is constantly at work in the world, and his intent, among other things, is to use his influence he has on the whole world. So this is how Satan operates. He steals the truth of the word of God sown into people's hearts so that they can be saved. He destroys, accuses, and devours Christians, and his methods include, this is how he does it. He uses deception, he uses lies, How does that look like? False doctrine, false religions. He tempts or tests believers to weaken in their faith. He allures people to indulge in their sinful lust, right? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. His method is to help us fall in love with our sins. And his method is to steal, kill, and destroy anything that has to do with the truth and of God, and to keep you enslaved to your sin. And what we're going to see is that Satan doesn't operate alone. Verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And I really wish we had a sermon on this verse alone. But just know this. Paul describes this warfare that believers have. Right now, believers, you're in a war. And if you don't know that, you better wake up. We're in a spiritual war. And Paul uses a very interesting Greek word in the word struggle, pale. Pale. And it is off in ancient times, and for in Rome, right, they had the Colosseum, and they would have gladiators, right, that would come into the Colosseum. Let's say two walk in, only one walk out. And that is a Greek word that is used that is attributed to this verse. So our struggle is not against flesh and blood. This pale struggle, this life and death struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against Satan's army. Satan has a posse. Is that slang? He has a posse. Who are they? The rulers, plural, against the powers or authorities, plural, against the world forces, plural, of this darkness, against the spiritual forces, plural, of wickedness in heavenly places. So apparently from this verse alone, we know that there is a ranking within the angelic realm. And here's just one example, just to mention Daniel's prayer. In the book of Daniel, there was an angel there that was responding to Daniel's prayer. And if he was held back for 3 weeks by the prince of the kingdom of Persia. So he was held in custody for 3 weeks. And then Michael had to come and bail him out. So there is a ranking within the angelic realm. And where did Satan's army come from? And we get a glimpse of that in Revelation 12:4. And his tail, again, speaking of the red dragon, and speaking of Satan here, he swept away the third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. So when Satan sinned, he took a third of the angels with him, and they were cast out of heaven onto earth. So our enemies have influence in the realm we cannot see. And our enemies have influence in certain places, and let me just throw a phrase out there, and you know what I'm talking about. Sin City? Interesting. I want to submit to you that there is a heavy, demonic, angelic forces in that place. And let me tell you, it's in the Far East, where there's these idols and worship. Let me suggest to you, there is a lot of rulers and principalities and powers in the unseen realm over that place. So there is this influence that affects our culture. It affects world powers or figures. It affects our government officials and regimes. And let me throw some familiar names out there. You heard of Hitler? You heard of Stalin? You know, just these two alone, they were responsible for deaths of tens of millions of people. Trust me, they weren't operating alone. Thus, the need for us to be on guard at all times and have this armor on. So here it is. As soon as we become a believer, and I want to be careful when I use allegory, because the scripture is not allegoric. The scripture is to be interpreted literally, which may use some figurative language, but there is a literal interpretation. But I'm going to use an allegory here. Believers, as soon as you become a believer, here's an illustration. You're automatically drafted, enlisted, and you're immediately deployed to the battlefield. And the battlefield is the earth. And Satan has his minions running the show, Unredeemed humanity are simply his pawns, and all are under the sovereign rule of God. And this battlefield includes, among other things, you know, deception, luring believers into temptation to sin. So anything that wants to incite your sinful flesh or lusts, that's one of the methods of Satan and his posse. Let's look at verse 13. Therefore, Paul says we are to take up the full armor of God so that we will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. So believers, again, we're to be appropriately protected when the evil day comes. And you see that phrase, evil day? Okay, when is this evil day? Let me give it to you simply. As soon as Satan sinned, there is now an evil day. Sin is now into creation. And when did that evil day extend from Satan and in the angelic realm in that rebellion to the human race? And you got it. That's right. It is at the fall. The evil day happened and extended to humanity when Adam and Eve sinned. So from the first day of their sin to this very day until the last of days is the evil day. And notice, also in verse 13, the call is for believers to stand firm. So believers, we are never called to retreat a spiritual battle. So if I were to use an imagery here, let's say, you know, I had my attire on and I'm a Roman soldier and he says you were to stand firm. It's just like this. And just stand firm. We're never called to retreat a spiritual battle. We are to be engaged in the battle and we are to stand firm. And I also want to call out that we are, as we're standing firm, we are to call on our commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God, to hold us and to sustain us and to give us the grace and supplication needed to remain firm in our footing. So let's look at verses 14 and 15. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now we're finally introduced to the armor of God. And here's the first piece of God's armor, the belt of truth. So let's talk a little bit about the Roman soldiers' attire. So the Roman soldiers, they wore this tunic, and it was like this white kind of robe or long shirt. And I'm going to tell you, it's a dress for men, okay? It was a long shirt. It kind of went to the knees, and that's what they wore, all right? And if the tunic wasn't fastened around with the belt, now could you imagine if it was windy that day when you're engaged in battle? It goes right over you, right? So no, the first thing you do is you fasten that thing in so that it doesn't become a hindrance. And Paul says in verse 14 that believers have, past tense, girded, fastened on her waist, the belt of truth. So what is this belt of truth in practical terms? You know, Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? You know what? I want to suggest to you too. If Paul was before Pilate, and Paul was telling Pilate about this belt of truth, Pilate would have asked, what is this belt of truth? And here, let me tell it to you simply in practical terms. Here is the belt of truth. It is knowing and accepting Christ as Savior. That's the belt of truth. Knowing, understanding, and believing the Word of God. Here's another way to describe, what is this belt of truth in practical terms? Here it is. Solid doctrine. Solid theology. What is your view about God? Do you know your view about God influences how you think and operate? So the better view or the clearer view you have of God and your sin, then, my friend, you are more fastened with this belt of truth. Again, much more can be said on that, but let's look on the second piece of armor in the same verse. So Paul says again, stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So the second piece of God's armor is a breastplate of righteousness. So what happens is the Roman soldiers, they would put on their belt first, And then they would put on over them their breastplate. And the breastplate, when it was put on, it was attached by some mechanism that it's actually one piece. So that breastplate and the belt were one piece of the armor. It helped kept it attached. It anchored the belt, and it was above the belt. And this breastplate, it was made of oftentimes brass or a chain, you know, some sort of metal that protected. And it went from the neck to about right here. And it protected, right, their vital organs. So, you know, right here in the human body, the vital organs, these would include, you know, the heart, the lungs, the stomach, the intestines, the spleen, liver, kidney, pancreas, gallbladder, etc. So basically, the breastplate, it protected the vital organs. So we know that a human can live without limbs, right? You can live without an arm or both arms or leg or both legs, or you can even be a quadriplegic and you can still be alive. Why? Because your vital organs are still intact. So this is the vital area. So now let's ask the question and answer it again. What is this breastplate of righteousness that Paul is commanding us to put on in practical terms? So let me give it to you. There's really a twofold truth here. What is this breastplate of righteousness? First of all, we need to get this right. We need to get this right. Believers, here's a big word, are imputed the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Let me use an easier word. Believers are transferred the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We need to get that. You are right. I am right before God because of our faith in Christ. And in turn, he imputed or transferred his righteousness to us. That's the breastplate of righteousness. That's number one. There's another side on that coin. It's this. It is living a righteous and holy life. And we cover that quite a bit in our study on the worthy manner. So now that we've been imputed or received or transferred this righteousness by Christ, then our life needs to balance the scales of that calling. Remember that? And we need to live a life that is consistent with the salvation that was transferred to us and that we received. So this breastplate of righteousness is the imputed righteousness of Christ, and in turn, living out a holy and righteous life. And if we don't have the imputed righteousness of Christ, and if we aren't in turn pursuing a holy and righteous life, you know what that's like? Go into the battlefield, or at least engage in that battle. Someone has their breastplate and you don't, and you both have swords. Who's at a disadvantage unless you're extremely talented and gifted? The odds are not in your favor. Right, we can say. So let's go to the third piece of God's armor. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So the third piece of God's armor are feet prepared with the gospel of peace. So if we were to stay with the Roman soldier attire, he wore, you know, it was leather boots, and you know, actually I think Beyonce rocked it sometime. You know, those like leather straps that you wrap around your leg. You know, it kind of looked like that, all right? But it was about half a boot, and beneath it, they put some metals. And like, you know, think about metals or spikes between it. So it actually, the shoes of a Roman soldier, obviously it served a variety of purposes. For one, it gives you footing, right? So if you're fighting in a terrain and you have solid footing, then, right, you're good. Also, right, if you were to knock your opponent down, you can break their bones or you know, give them a fatal blow in the head, you know, with that shoe. It should go without saying, if you were knocked off your feet, that you are at a disadvantage. And I'm going to use an illustration here. MMA, mixed martial arts. What happens if you ever watch mixed martial arts and you have two guys going at it? What happens when that dude gets knocked down? Pounce, because they're trying to get the finish. So when you're down, the opponent's eyes gets big and then they try to go for the kill, okay? So that's kind of the idea here. Here's another one we got to recognize. Do you know our power is from our legs? And we can see this in athletics. You know, mixed martial arts, everything's in your legs, whether you kick, it's all in your legs. If you play baseball and you swing, it's in your legs. You play football and you're going to drive somebody, it comes from your legs. So legs is obviously, and having firm footing is actually very important to be successful in battle. So go to verse 16. In addition to all, take up the taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So here we're to the fourth piece of God's armor now, and it is the shield of faith. Now, there were generally two types of shields that a Roman soldier would use. And the first one was more of a smaller shield for dexterity. You know what I think about? My favorite Marvel character, Captain America. The one of those shields, he would have his shield, but he could also, boom, you know, he can throw it. He had dexterity, right? That he had a smaller shield. So the Roman soldiers had something similar where they had a smaller shield. There was a second type of shield, and it was more of a from the knees to about the chin, more of a full or half body, more close to most of your body shield. And that shield protected from arrows and spears that could be knelt behind during a barrage of arrows. So the Greek word for shield in this verse, in verse 16, it's the longer shield. It's not the Captain America, I'm bummed. But it's more of the longer shield. So for a believer to be successful in battle, we are to have this shield of faith. And if we were to just, like, if we were in a battle line, all of us, so let's just say we were in a war field, and we had our army with us, and we stand locking arm, and we all had our full armor, and let's say we all had that shield right before us, and then let's say here we are, we're trying to gain ground, we're trying to move forward, that's where God wants us to go, and then here's all these arrows, hundreds probably, and then what we do, we lock arms, we put the shield up, right? It just blocks it all. And that's the idea here of this shield of faith, is so that we would be able to guard against those flaming arrows. So how does flaming darts look like? You know, I kind of use that imagery of all these, let's just say, I don't know, have you ever watched those kind of war movies? And some of them, they have these epic battles, and you see these archers, and a lot of them have fire too, and stuff like that. And you see, you don't know where they're coming from. Well, how does it look like in real life? How does these flaming darts look like? Just go outside. Turn on your TV. Look on your smartphone. Sex on the internet. There's bars, clubs, drugs. Vegas, I mentioned that. Sin City. Prostitution. Women wearing provocative clothing. There's media propagating lies. And that's just some examples of these flaming arrows. So flaming darts, they're likened to external temptations, anything that can entice us and entrap us to sin and be enslaved to sin. So to go without the shield of faith, if we went into this battlefield and there's all these flaming arrows and we don't have this shield of faith, guess what happens when all those arrows are coming your way? You're going to get shot, drop, might even be killed. So to go without the shield of faith, you will succumb to the testing and trials that are thrown your way in this life, and you will fall prey and victim to sin. And here's how it kind of looks like, how it manifests itself, these flaming darts. Have you ever struggled with sin? Have you ever struggled with depression? Have you ever struggled with fear? Have you ever had doubt? Doubted God? Doubted yourself, your faith? Have you ever had any of those things? Again, that's why we're to have this shield of faith on. So the believers are called to shield themselves in faith in Christ. We are to shield ourselves, and this is how we put on the shield of faith. We are to shield ourselves by saturating our minds with the Word of God, and our shield ourselves from being polluted with sin, from being conformed with the world, and giving in to external temptations. Again, a lot can be said there, but just wanted to give you an idea. Let's go to verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. So the fifth piece of God's armor, he calls the helmet of salvation. And it should go without saying, if you're going into battle with someone and you had a helmet on, let's say it was, you know, metal protected your head. What happens if you don't have a helmet? Your head is exposed. it's an obvious target for the enemy. And not only that, you know how we mentioned that the vital organs, the breastplate, protected the vital organs here? Well, the head or the brain is the computer or machine that makes everything work. So also a fatal blow to, we can get messed up in the head, and that can affect everything. And not only can it affect everything, depending on what that is, it could also lead to a fatal blow. So Paul says that we are to take, take, and it's the verb, to take hold of this helmet of salvation. Okay, so what is that in practical terms? As you can see, we were going through the pieces of God's armor, and we're like, okay, what is Paul getting at here? Let me tell you what it is. The helmet of salvation, in practical terms, it's the assurance of your salvation. Believers are to take a hold of and have full assurance of their salvation. So did you know this? Did you know one of Satan's schemes? Remember, deceptions and lies is to have you question or doubt. Well, did God really say he's died for all your sins, past, present, and future? Are you sure about that? Take that helmet off, you start giving in. Put that helmet on, you're like, let God be true and every man a liar, including you, devil, Satan, and your army. Do you see? If you have doubt on what God has said and promised in his word, you are doubting and sinning against God. So if you believe that you can lose your salvation, it's like you're going to war without your helmet. You are completely susceptible to Satan's onslaught, and you are in danger of a crushing and fatal blow as it pertains to living out a victorious life in Christ over your sin. So again, remember, we are to keep this helmet of salvation on and never take it off. We are to put on Ephesians 1. In love, God chose and predestined us to be adoptions as sons and daughters. We're to put on Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you will complete or perfect it. We're to put on 1 Corinthians 1:8 through 9. God will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We are to put on Jude 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. We're to put on Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Amen. Now there are many verses, many more verses on eternal security, but these are just some good ones. For starters, here, let me say it another way. If you were to kind of take notes, the helmet of salvation equals, right, the assurance of our salvation. No assurance of salvation, that means it's the opposite. You have no assurance of your salvation, you have no helmet. How can that helmet also come off? If you rely on works, and if you rely on your performance, trust me, by the authority of the Word of God, you will lack assurance. If you're telling me that your performance and how you perform in the eyes of God is contingent on your salvation, helmet is coming off. If we rely, but the opposite is true, if you rely that, and these are the solas, if you are saved, if you believe that you are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, that's all you have to go by, then my friend, you have that helmet of salvation on. So now we're on to the final and sixth piece of God's armor. Let's look again at verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Okay, here we are introduced to the sixth and final piece of God's armor, and that is the sword of the Spirit. And I want to suggest to you something, and you probably heard this. Okay, you're a Christian now. You got to take your sword. You got to take your sword, right? Sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. You got to take the Word of God like that. And some commentators might heavily favor or suggest that the sword is your only offensive weapon. I beg to differ. And I kind of alluded to it in the shoes, how that can be used as an offensive weapon. Sometimes your best offense is your best defense. So the armor of God, it's both offensive and it's also defensive. All of it. The entire armor. And that's the essence here. So although the first five pieces are primarily for non-offensive and defensive measures, they are your effective, also offensive measures as well. Now here's where I really wanted to get to. I want you to notice something that is very important and it is often overlooked, whether it's in commentaries that you read or whether you're reading it in your personal time most likely. And it's this. Namely, notice in verse 17, it begins with the conjunction and. It begins with and. And if you were to follow that conjunction all the way to the top, you will notice that the conjunction goes all the way up to the first piece of God's armor. So here's what I'm saying. And here's what the scripture is saying. In other words, Paul is saying here in this passage, and he's not breaking a thought here. This is what he's saying. Believers are to take the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and the shoes for your feet in readiness by the gospel of peace and the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So did you know? Yes, we know that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Did you know that the belt of truth is the Word of God? That the breastplate of righteousness is the Word of God? That the gospel of peace is the Word of God? That the shield of faith is the Word of God? And that the helmet of salvation is the Word of God? Here's where Paul's getting at. This is your belt. This is your breastplate. These are your shoes. This is your shield. This is your helmet. This is your sword. So here's where he gets at with no break in thought in this. Verse 18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, with this in view, to be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. So putting on, how do we put on the armor? How do we activate this armor? And it is activated and put on through prayer. So if we don't pray, we are cutting ourselves from the resources available to us by the Holy Spirit. So by not praying, we are fighting the battle naked and disconnected from our commander. Not praying, it's as if, right, if we were to go to war and let's say, you know, and that's how it is in our military today, right? You have people in, you know, in the higher positions or authority, and a lot of times you have intel on the enemy and they've done their intel, they've done their research, they've gathered up all the data and they've come up with a plan. They had a strategy and saying, this is how we're going to attack and succeed. And if you know, for us not praying, it's like us not listening or being connected to all of that information, all of that work, all of that, you know, all of that diligence that was done by those who are entrusted over us. It's no different in that aspect of it than in our spiritual walk. Then Paul concludes this marvelous epistle. He asks for prayer, and here's his closing remarks. Verse 19, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that you also may know about my circumstances, how I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make everything known to you. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know about us and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus with incorruptible love. And that takes us to the end of this marvelous epistle. So let's wrap this up. So what is the lesson? What is the takeaway? And I think it became clear, right? The Bible is your armor. All of it. It's your entire armor attire. And the takeaway is we are to read, we are to meditate, we are to pray his word. And That's how we put it on and enable it. And when this is a word of encouragement for us, and some of us may have had only a couple of pieces in the armor. Some of us might not have even had any pieces on. Some of us might have had all of them. Thank God for that. But just know this. Yes, as we live out our Christian life, there's going to be a lot of individual battles. There's going to be some successes. And there's going to be many failures. But thanks be to His name that even though our individual battles may be lost, that the overall battle of war in the angelic realm and the overall victory for our sin has already been won and secured by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are to put on the full armor of God that He has provided. We must consistently eat, drink, and live out the Word of God in our lives. And I'll leave you with the words of our Lord, that man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's the truth. Now, here's the application. So if this isn't a priority to you, it's kind of secondary. The application is, no, this needs to be your priority. Because we are living life, yes, on things we can see, and there are also things that we cannot see. So we need to put this as the priority of our life. And by doing so, right, Lord willing, again, through prayer, you know, reading, prayer, meditation, application, we will find ourselves a good and faithful soldier and fully equipped to whatever good work that God has prepared in advance that we should walk in. Amen.
Thank you so much for downloading the Truth Matters Church podcast. The world is a crazy place, and we are in the midst of a very real spiritual war. The enemy is on the prowl, searching for weak places in our lives and seeking to attack. But as we heard, God has given us every instrument we need to stand ready against the plots of the enemy. It's called the armor of God, which is ultimately put on through prayer and the studying of the Word of God. Putting on this armor and keeping fit for battle, it enables us to remain firm and steady, even as the world around us suffers the effects of rampant sin, chaos, temptation, anxiety, and worry. If you enjoyed today's message, please consider subscribing to this podcast and perhaps sharing it with a friend. Your financial support empowers us to produce and distribute these messages all over the world. If God has put it on your heart to support this ministry, you can do so at truthmatterschurch.org. Your gift is sincerely appreciated. Contending for the faith, one verse at a time. This is Truth Matters Church.